Good morning and welcome to CIFAR Sounding. I'm your host, Simba Wiltz.
And I'm Asla Gotcher.
CIFAR Sounding is a production of Central Florida Animal Reserve,
where we engage the world of the big cats through our mottos of compassion, conservation, and commitment.
At CIFAR, when it comes to big cats, it's about vision.
You can find out more about us on our website at cflar.org.
We're also on social media. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CFLAR, and on Twitter at CFLAR. Big cats.
And we're on YouTube as well, correct?
We are on YouTube.
We always have interesting videos out there, so if you're looking for something to see interesting, you got to go check out the YouTube video too.
You can find that at youtube.com/CFL Animal Reserve. This week, we've been fortunate to have some particularly good weather. It has actually been cool in the morning, and then also a little bit warm in the afternoon, which has made both the cats and the humans quite happy. The cats.
We like happy humans. Well, we like happy cats, too.
We do. And we enjoy when they're frisky when it's cold, and then they get a chance to sun. We've seen lots of fluffy white cat bellies posted up towards the sun, catching the rays in the afternoon. They've enjoyed that extra time that they've gotten after the cool morning. And having a full belly and a spot in the sun to lay has been quite pleasant. That being said, there, of course, have been several different action items that have taken place this week at the facility itself, as well, of course, at the new facility.
Yeah, so what's going on at the facility itself?
Well, as it stands right now, we are doing a little spring cleaning. We are always in the process of doing maintenance in the facility, so there's always something to fix. Fighting nature is always a challenge in Florida, no less, but also the cats can be very hard on their enclosures, so there have been a number of construction projects that have been taking place, led by our very dedicated facility director and the teams, to make sure that the facility is in tip-top shape as we move into spring.
Spring cleaning is a lot of fun always, for us humans as well.
The cats don't seem to like it quite as much, because many times it's something inside their enclosure, so they spend additional time in the shift, but are well rewarded when they come back to some nice, juicy meals that we've hand-picked out to make sure that they know that they are loved.
Well, you know, the best way to their heart is through their stomach, right?
Very much so. Of course, we also ended up having a procedure done this weekend with one of our leopards.
So I guess that means it's time for us to give us some new facts about leopards. What do you think?
Well, I guess it might be a good time.
It's a good way to teach everybody a little bit about these leopards and keep remembering all these wonderful facts. So I think we ought to make it kind of fun. What do you think?
Yes, that way we can keep it straight each time we talk about one of these species.
I think we ought to call it, let's see, 15 Freakishly Fast Fun Cat Facts. What do you think?
All right, let's do it. 15 Freakishly Fast Fun Cat Facts.
Common name, leopard.
Genus and species, Panthera pardus.
Subspecies, 9.
Average shoulder height, 1.5 to 2.5 feet.
Average body length, 3 to 5 feet.
Average weight, 135 to 200 pounds.
Lifespan, 12 to 17 years.
Land speed, 30 to 36 miles per hour.
Conservation status, near, threatened.
Native lands, Africa and tropical Asia.
Key physical features, rosette spots, even on black leopards.
Likes climbing trees for protection.
Dislikes larger predators.
Jumping ability, 10 feet high, 20 to 30 feet long.
Primary diet, carnivore. Or generalist, eats any animal or insect it catches, eats about 5 to 6 pounds a day.
Leopards at CIFAR are Chantescoya, Gypsy, and Osceola.
Be paying attention for more freakishly fun cat facts in the future.
The leopard in question for our story today is Chantescoya. And Chante is starting to get up there in age. He is 16 years old this year. When it comes to leopards, as we just said, their lifespan being 12 to 17 years, he's definitely in the older category. And we noticed that he was starting to be a little bit ginger as he walked along on his front paws, sometimes giving a bit of a limp. Sometimes he wouldn't. It started to become more and more pronounced. And so we had Doc Martin, our veterinarian, come up to the facility to knock him down and take a look at what's going on.
What kind of an examination did he do? Just kind of feeling around to see inflammation and such, or what did he do?
Well, after the anesthesia took hold and Chante was safe to approach, we got him up on the table and it became very obvious very quickly what kind of scenario we were dealing with. His joints at the wrists were actually quite large, and it was not large and spongy. It was large and hard in the same manner that you might get calcium deposits. And this is actually part of the body's natural defense when you're in an arthritic state to try and put down additional layers there. The problem, of course, being that if you've got bone on bone, then it still is going to be quite painful, even though the body is trying to fix it.
All right, so basically, for arthritis, the condition is the smooth cartilage between the bones breaking down over time, either due to a trauma at some point, or infection, or just due to old age. I know in dogs, it's actually about 1 in 6 dogs get arthritis. Obviously, people get it too, so this is applicable for all of us, that arthritis is common for humans and animals.
Yes, and it's important to distinguish that this type of arthritis is the wear and tear version of arthritis. There are a number of different kinds of arthritis out there, some of which are actually mediated by our immune systems. Rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, all of these are items that we treat humans with biologic drugs and specialty medications these days. But in this case, we're looking at an animal, a person, any creature that has lived long enough will have eventually worn through that cartilage and begin to experience that creaky, grindy sensation that comes with osteoarthritis, which is arthritis of the bone.
Right, so it's more of an old age type of situation in this case.
That's what it appears to be. Maybe overuse, even.
Overuse, okay. That could make sense. I know that looking up some information on the web about arthritis with dogs, they don't have much information on the web about arthritis in tigers, you might imagine, or leopards, as it were.
No, I imagine that they wouldn't.
Maybe we need to put some posts up there. What do you think?
Well, the good and the bad of it is, no, there's not a lot of information about big cats and arthritis. However, arthritis is extremely similar across the species. So when it comes to actually treating arthritis, the treatment methodologies are actually pretty similar.
But looking at some of the causes, like for those of you that have dogs and even for yourself, some of the causes of arthritis are, as I mentioned before, infection can cause arthritis. Obviously, we're talking here more just about aging in itself causing arthritis. Dislocation of joints can cause arthritis. Inherited conditions such as hip dysplasia and such can cause arthritis. Immune system problems can cause arthritis. I think you just mentioned that that's a common one in people, is immune system issues. One of the other ones that was mentioned that I thought was interesting is obesity. And I guess that kind of goes to overuse. If your dog is overweight, or in this case, if your leopard is overweight, walking around can cause issues with their joints.
Great point. Actually, Chante is in good weight. He is probably about 120 pounds. He is light enough that one strong person can pick him up and move him when he's under anesthesia, of course. He otherwise is in good weight, but he is a leopard. So that means he does do a lot of jumping, a lot of leaping up and down, higher levels than perhaps some of the tigers do. So he is a little bit more vulnerable to that pressure that comes when he's doing hard jumps down.
The other thing that I noticed too that was interesting is that ligament or tendon or muscle injury can also be a cause for arthritis, which seems kind of counterintuitive to me because the muscles are around the bones and not in the cartilage, but apparently injuries in that area can also cause eventual arthritis.
Yes, and it's important to realize that our bodies, their bodies, all of us have an amazing structure that adapts to our function. For example, if you want to think about just the bending of a knee, the knee is a complicated joint, and in the process of bending the knee, there is a magic groove, so to speak, that we are used to moving through that range of motion. Now, if any one of those ligaments or muscles becomes weak or compromised, then that can cause the other muscles to overcompensate, and it can move the joint's motion out of that normal range of motion and into an area that is not naturally as well protected as the original joint might be. So you end up having the body wearing on an area that has less protection than it might have had if it had been in the normal range of motion. And that's where, of course, the combination of injury plus obesity, which adds weight, can cause arthritis over time.
Another interesting cause that I thought I'd like to mention is that if you had an injury or a sprain during the growth phase, that too can eventually lead to arthritis in the joint. If you had an injury or a sprain or something to a joint while your bones are still growing, that can eventually lead to arthritis, which is interesting that something that happened so long ago can cause so much issue later.
Unfortunately, that could very well be the case with Chante. A little bit about his backstory. He was actually a rescue out of Texas, where there was a breeder who had Chante, who had sold him to a number of families who had constantly brought him back because he was too difficult to handle in the home. As a cub, Chante would, of course, be very active, would not be able to control his claws, so he would have hurt the families, and so perhaps it's a good thing that they brought them back. However, that did not come without a certain amount of abuse where people tried to beat it out of him, and that kind of physical trauma certainly could have manifested in some injuries when he was young that could be just showing up now.
That makes sense. It goes along with some of the other things we've been talking about. And arthritis has no cure, correct?
Unfortunately, no. Once our body's natural padding is gone, the only thing we can do is to mitigate the pain and either repair or replace the tissues that were previously acting as protective layers.
Thanks for listening to CFAR Sounding. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, my name is Phyllis Park. I am the events coordinator for Central Florida Animal Reserve. Here are some of the events that we have coming up. The first event will be the Warbird Air Show in Titusville, Florida on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. The gates open at 8:30 a.m. and will run until about 5 p.m. Several of CFAR staff members will be there introducing our organization to attendees from all over the world. It's quite a big show with several thousand people. Birthday, presented by WJRR. It's a rock music festival on April 12th. This is a Saturday, gates opening at 11 a.m. at the Central Florida Fairgrounds. The event runs until around 11 p.m., but CFAR staff will be there until around dark. We will be selling CFAR merchandise and promoting our organization, soliciting new volunteers for our organization, since this will be fairly close to our new home. Sebastian will be there, meeting old friends and making new friends. The next event that's coming up will be our Member Appreciation Day on May 18th, which is a Sunday from 12 until 5 p.m. This is an opportunity to meet the CFAR staff, see the cats in their home, to ask all of your questions and see what's going on with our future as well as with the cats. We hope to see you at this upcoming event. Come out and see us. Thank you for supporting CFAR.
Thanks, Phyllis. Enjoy this musical interlude. CFAR Sounding will be right back. Listening to CFAR Sounding with host Simba Wiltz and Osla Konser.
Now, what about medical treatments such as the glucosamines and those things that are supposed to help protect or even regrow cartilage? Are those helpful, or is that just a pain mitigation kind of thing? Or?
Well, I think that the jury is still out on glucosamine from a true therapeutic nature. There have been a number of studies since glucosamine hit the mainstream about 12 years ago, and one of the challenges that has been faced with that is the lack of truly randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials that would be ordinarily necessary to prove the efficacy of the medication. Now, in most of these trials, they try to prove both safety and efficacy, but no one has seemed to have any true safety issues. What patients tend to report is when they are taking the glucosamine, they may not immediately feel any different. However, if they stop taking it, then that's when they notice a little bit of a difference. And because osteoarthritis is very much a condition that relies upon slowing down the disease progression versus reversing the disease progression, anything that you do that's going to put the brakes on the damage is going to be far more valuable than something that is going to allow it to progress at a faster rate. Therefore, it has been generally regarded as safe, to use the technical term, but it is not necessarily been proven to rebuild bone or replace cartilage, certainly not to the degree that would prevent the degree of pain that comes with having bone grinding on bone.
Now, aren't there also drugs like injections that help protect the damaged joint and actually slow down the action of the proteins that metabolize?
There are medications that exist like that. As you mentioned, they do require injections. A lot of them are synthetic cartilages or a special kind of fluid that goes into the joint called hyaluronic acid. And these synthetic components can go into the joint and form almost like a natural cushion. However, the body over time will break them down, and eventually the joint will settle back onto its normal bone-on-bone pattern. So these are palliative treatments, certainly not curative, but something that is in the realm of possibility for people, but not necessarily practical for big cats.
So what was the decision to do to help out Chante?
Well, with all of our medical decisions, quality of life has to come first. And Chante is still able to get around. He is not in an enclosure that has other cats. So that means that he's not really having to worry about the threat of having to have minor conflicts or any other cat trying to, quote unquote, play with him when he's not in the mood for it. So a couple of things that we are going to be doing for Chante. One, of course, is some structural modifications to his enclosure to provide him a little bit more of a step so that he doesn't have to leap straight up in the air to get on top of his den. While this leap is not a problem for him, it's only about 4 feet high. With leopards being able to jump 10 feet high, it's just a hop skip for him. But we do want to make it easier for him to get up and down. He is going to start on glucosamine and chondroitin. And glucosamine and chondroitin, as we mentioned before, are going to hopefully enable him to have a little bit of joint protection and enable him to be a little bit more mobile as he is moving about his enclosure. Pain medicines are not generally indicated for big cats for all the reasons we've certainly talked about before, but especially because any time that pain is taken away, then they may think that they are no longer injured and do further damage than having at least a little bit of pain to keep them from having additional problems.
Now, what about steroids or non-steroidal, non-inflammatory medications and stuff? Do you give those kind of things to cats as well?
Non-steroidals are a great option for humans, but unfortunately, they tend to have some problems with big cats. In fact, you'll see that the differences in their metabolism, how they process drugs, can make certain drugs extremely dangerous. And because they can't process the non-steroidals quite as well, and also because we can't really gauge the level of pain based upon a numerical scale or the ability to communicate more precisely, we have chosen to stay away from those at the moment.
And I suppose that's still going back to you need them to have a little bit of pain so they do take it easy on themselves.
It's that, but it's also a safety and efficacy standpoint. Will it take away the pain? Perhaps, especially if it's given multiple times a day, which is a logistical challenge. However, they don't come without their own version of side effects. And they are known to be directly toxic to the stomach linings of all animals, all creatures that do take them. Whether it be humans or big cats or dogs. So anything that's going to be directly toxic to the stomach is going to disincentivize them from eating, which can cause another set of problems. So we really are trying to do side effect management as we try and manage the medication situation.
What about surgical options?
surgical options are possible, but again, that would be somewhat extreme in this case. The reason I say that it would be extreme is that this surgery will, of course, require recovery, which usually requires either immobilization or a lessening of use. And while it's very easy to tell a human that you need to take it easy, that kind of phrase doesn't really work for the big cats. At his age, at the degree of condition that he has, it is unwise for us to try and attempt a surgical repair, because in many ways that would not necessarily be a measure that would be quality of life for him as much as it might be an effort to try and keep him around a bit longer for us.
Well, just to tie it back sort of to humans going through arthritis and people with their dogs going through arthritis, what do you do with surgeries? Is it literally replacement of joints?
In many cases, it is replacement of joint. Once that joint's cartilage has gone, it's gone. The only thing that we have been able to do is to put substitutes in place, but usually when the arthritis gets bad enough, whether it be a hip or a knee or any other part that we have a piece for, it's replacement. So hip replacement, not uncommon. Knee replacement, something else that we've had people go through. It's usually the joint is replaced so that it can continue to function. Obviously, the replacements are not ever really considered as good as the original, but it can eliminate a major source of pain and improve quality of life tremendously. And because the end results are so much better, and we've continually gotten better with joint replacement technology, it can extend quality of life significantly in those people that undergo those procedures.
Well, of course, surgery should always be the last option, because that is obviously going to be very invasive in any case, even for humans or animals or whatever the case may be. But obviously there are cases when you do have to do surgery for different reasons.
That's correct. And when it comes to joint replacements for us in terms of big cats, that's not usually a modus that we would often use, just because the recovery is so difficult, because it is an extraordinarily expensive venture. We want to provide them the best care that is going to enable them to have a natural quality of life. And performing joint replacements takes them out of the realm of trying to preserve their natural life and moves into artificially preserving their lives for a benefit that is not necessarily entirely their own.
Well, as we've said before, you're looking more for their quality of life, and that in itself may diminish their quality of life simply because recovery is so difficult for something like that.
Right. And we're introducing a very, very controversial, very complicated, and very personal in many ways subject. And it really has a lot to do with the philosophy of whether or not you believe that if there's an answer, then you should use it. What really constitutes all available means, and what truly is the definition of quality of care? Trying to measure that is extremely complicated. It's a challenge we have in human medicine, and it certainly is a challenge that people have with their pets, in our case with our big cats and all of our residents as they get older.
Obviously, it's a difficult choice for humans to make to go and do surgery, but at least with people, you can ask the person. In this case, you're having to make that decision for the animal. And it's not unlike having to make a decision for an elderly parent or something like that. It's got to be very difficult to do, or for a child. In this case, it's probably more analogous to making a decision for a child, because the person themselves can't actually help you with that decision. You have to make the decision for them as to what's going to be the best option for that situation.
Yes, it does become very difficult when you're put in the position of having someone else live with the consequences of your choice. We also are following another development in the process of having him down. We did do a full examination, and he is in remarkable shape. Beautiful claws. He's taking care of his teeth extraordinarily well, especially considering that, a leopard's teeth are almost the same size as a lion's teeth in some cases, in a much smaller animal. But his teeth were beautiful, no calculus, no cracked teeth or anything like that. But we did notice that there were these little lumps that were all over him. And so Doc Martin decided that he was going to take a couple of those out and introduce to several small lipomas that were on his body.
Now, this too is another subject that many people have to deal with their pets. And actually, it happens in humans too, but not as often. Lipomas are these fatty tumors that occur underneath the skin, and they're not necessarily attached to anything. They're just fatty tumors that are actually a form of cancer, but they're benign.
Yes, and I think that's the point to emphasize, is that they are benign and extraordinarily common. It happens a lot to humans between the ages of 40 and 60 years old, and when it comes to cats, big cats as well as small cats, it tends to happen once they get past about 12 years, they'll have these little lipomas all over the place. At first, obviously, it can be a little bit concerning for everybody involved, no matter what the species, to discover that you're suddenly gone from very smooth to lumpy. And that tends to get people running to their physician pretty quickly to figure out what's going on.
And they're very common in dogs. I know I have a dog, and she's got lipomas. But the kinds of things to look for those of you that are pet owners, when you do have a lipoma on an animal, is to make sure that it's not attached to something. Because if the lump is attached to the muscle matter or something underneath, it can be more serious, and it can be growing bigger and deeper and causing discomfort. The other thing to look for is location of the lipoma. Sometimes those lipomas can be in areas where there's a lot of movement between joints and can be very uncomfortable for the animal just because there's this mass in the way. So those are the kinds of things to look for to make sure that you tell your vet about the lipomas and make sure that they are checked to see that they're not cancerous and to make sure that they're not in areas that are causing discomfort for the animal. In most cases, the ones that are on their back and their sides and they're not attached to anything, they're just little fatty tumors, they don't cause them any discomfort at all.
These are great points, and I think the best point that you've made there is just not to panic about that. Definitely see your veterinarian, just like we had our vet up to take a look at Chante's lipomas. It's important that they do check, and when they do, what they will first check is see if there's any blood supply. So don't be surprised if they stick it with a needle and see if they can pull anything out. In order for a tumor, especially a cancerous tumor, to grow, it has to have some kind of arterial venous structure. It's got to have blood flow so that it can take nutrients from the body. And so that first test of trying to pull out any blood there, that can be a quick sign of whether or not this is something benign or whether it's something more serious.
You're going to want to do that to make sure that it isn't more serious. I actually have had a lipoma removed from my dog because it was actually attached to her ribs and was growing into the muscle matter and was causing her pain. And it was a surgery, and it took some time to recover, but she's recovered fine, and she actually is much happier for it now. I noticed the difference. As soon as she was in recovery, she was much more active and happy than prior to the surgery. She seemed to slow down a lot, and some of that you can attribute to age, or at least I thought it was, but as it turns out, it was more or less this lipoma that was causing some of her discomfort and slowing down.
Glad to hear that that was the outcome.
Yeah, it was a great outcome, and she's got other lipomas. The other thing to not panic about is once they have one, it's very common for them to get many of them, and you're saying that Chante has several of them also.
Chante had quite a few. They were all extremely small, about the size of a fingernail, but peppered all throughout his neck region and some areas along his haunches and along his side. We did take several of them and have them sent off for biopsy because with the quantity, there is, of course, a chance that any one of them could be potential tumor. But even as they were pulled out, they did not have the appearance of a tumor, and that is a huge difference, and that's very important.
But Chante's doing well after his surgery?
Chante is well, and we expect that he will have many more years with us as long as he behaves and doesn't try to do anything too crazy.
So where do you want to go from here, Mr. Simba?
Well, we are actually very close to time on this, so this would be a good stopping point. And we will certainly pick up with some more information, particularly about all the fun things that are happening at the new facility. I'd like to take the moment to remind you that CFAR Sounding is a production of Central Florida Animal Reserve,
where we engage the world of the big cats through our mottos of compassion, commitment, and conservation.
If you've got comments on the show, please send us an email. Our email is contact@cflar.org.
And our website is cflar.org.
Thanks for listening. I'm Simba Wilt.
And I'm Oslo Gonser.
This has been CFAR Sounding.